Our congregation is blessed beyond measure. Not only and especially because of our young children. It is a joy to hear them giggle and laugh, to play with one another here in the building after services, to watch them outside. But we are so richly pressed, so richly blessed with our seniors, who has set an example for all of us. The New Testament concept of a Christian life is that of the whole life. Its instructions take into account the needs that are peculiar to the various stages in life. Two of the many scriptures indicative of this concept can be found in the following verses, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. Paul says, "Flee also youthful lusts." But also in Revelation 2:10, "Be faithful thou unto death." The English poet by the name of Browning expresses the wholeness of life in a poem, Rabbi Ben Ezra. He says, "Our times are in his hand, who saith, a whole I planned. Youth shows but half. Trust God, see all, nor be afraid." You know, when you look in the very beginning of the Bible and you go down through the genealogy of Adam from him on, and you look at how long these men lived and how long that Noah himself had lived following the flood, how Adam was 930 years old, how Methuselah lived just 31 years shy of 1,000 years old. It was 9 generations between Adam and Noah. And this world had become so wicked that God made a new decree concerning our ages. In Genesis 6 and verse 3, God said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for that he also is flesh. Yet shall his days be 120 years. And though Noah lived to be 950 years old, we find that following that time, the lifespan of biblical characters decreased steadily. Moses died at the age of 120 years. But even Solomon or David had recorded a shorter time span in Psalms 90 and verse 10. "The days of our years are 70 years, or by reason of strength, 80 years. Well, we've seen what medical achievements can accomplish in those times. Folks living well beyond 80 years old is quite common these days. But age itself is just a number, because we need to come to realize that there is something that's coming that makes it even better. I want to start off first by noticing some of the reasons why life's last years may be the best years. The first reason for the Christian is that with age comes greater spiritual strength. Paul is the author of this comforting thought found in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. He writes, "For wherefore we faint not, even though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day." You know, for a Christian, the order of growth is reversed. You know, for the human side, as children, and we grow up and we start gaining more and more knowledge, we kind of start reaching the peak of that around 35 years, and then the body decays. But for the Christian, it's just the opposite. We know very little as we are growing up, and the older we get, the more our spirituality increases. Our body grows weaker, our spirit grows stronger. And from those years of experience, the older Christian has gained a deeper sense of spiritual values. He has had occasion to prove God and to find those proofs true. Through the years of studying God's Word, of being with brothers and sisters in Christ, the faith has become well grounded. The temptations that we face as youth go back into the deep recesses of the mind and are no longer thought of. Those temptations have lost their allurement. The worldly pleasures have lost their appeal as heaven becomes more real. But we cannot discount the increased wisdom that we all benefit, a wisdom that can only come from the experience of living. And because of such wisdom, those folks are less likely to make poor judgments or mistakes. Those years bring greater understanding. It gives us a keener insight into life. They are years in which one may be of greater service to others because of the counsel and the guidance that they can give. Now, oftentimes when we think of time, we think of the clock on the wall or the watch. But time is a number, and time is something that, when this world ends, will be no more. There will be no need of time. We won't have to worry about being at specific places at times and specific times. But in the present day, the time that we have lived on this earth has caused a mellowing of ourselves. From the vantage point of age, we oftentimes view life from a longer range. But with age also comes honor. Solomon in Proverbs 6 and verse 31, he said, "The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness." Or we put it in everyday English, the gray hair. Most often, we show respect for those who have lived a good and long life. Most have fought, and most have won many of life's battles. And to them belongs that victory crown. But another reason why old age may bring one's best years is that it is a time in which the stress and strain of youth can be laid aside. Anne Morrow Lindbergh wrote a book, The Gift of the Sea. And in it she wrote, it is a period of shedding shells, the shell of ambition, the shell of material accumulation, the shell of ego. At this stage in one's life, one sheds one's pride, one's false ambition, one's mask, one's armor. One can at last be completely oneself, and what a liberation that can be. Many of our seniors, by the time the latter years arrive, has usually gained financial freedom. A family has been raised, and one is free from the attendant responsibilities it then becomes our time to be able to enjoy the fruits of those labors of being with our grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren without having to worry about getting them fed and clothed and corrected and being able to enjoy and to spoil. Those things that have once seemed important are now not even that important at all. We are finally able to sit back and truly enjoy life. While the morning is gone, and maybe even the afternoon too, there's still the evening to enjoy that sunset. Contrary to what some people think, and the idea that society is entertaining today, old age can be the time of usefulness and rich production. The old saying that you can't teach an old dog new tricks is not true. Barney can even use a cell phone. I love you, Barney. While we may be a little bit slower, maybe even our minds might be a little bit slower, they still remain sharp. Psalms 92 and verse 12, 14 says, "They shall bring forth fruits in old age. They shall be full of sap and green." Middle age. And even the latter years can be looked upon as a period of second flowering or second growth. You know, this winter's been kind of rough. Vicky's hydrangea bushes out on the side of the house, well, they started leafing out early and we had that real warm spell, and then all of a sudden the bottom fell out of the thermometer. And all those green leaves turned black. Well, they're coming back. Not those same black leaves, but new green leaves. And that is the way life is at times. We'll lose a little blossom, we'll lose some leaves, but there's still some green on the stem. There are blessings and there are advantages of old age, and they do not come merely by the passing of years. To enjoy these things, they must be prepared for. They must be earned and they must be deserved. So the question is for all of us, how do we prepare for a fruitful and happy old age? The first and probably, or not even probably, the first and most important preparation that we can make is a spiritual preparation. We need to have Christ as a daily companion, because when He is by our side each and every day, each moment of every day, we can face the difficulties of life unafraid. He has promised us in Isaiah 26 and verse 3 to keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. And we can find further assurance in Psalms 37, verse 25. "I have been young, and now am old. And yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Those who seek, what Matthew 6, 33 tells us, when we seek God first and His righteousness, He will sustain us through this life. He will sustain us in all sufficiency. We will never want for anything. By having that firm faith in God, we are relieved of the worries and doubts that we physically need. With that spiritual maturity comes the peace of mind, a sweeter disposition, a calm serenity and a happy face for the future. Carl Wilson Baker wrote the poem, Let Me Grow Lovely. And it goes like this, Let me grow lovely growing old. So many fine things to do. Laces and ivory and gold and silks need not be new. And there is healing in old trees. Old streets a glamour hold. Why may not I, as well as these, grow lovely growing old? But growing old does not relieve us of responsibilities, especially of being a Christian. While our strength and opportunities to serve may decrease, there is no lessening of one's responsibilities to live the pure life and to worship God. And I understand, and I think we all do, that health oftentimes hinders our attendance. But it doesn't necessarily need to dim one's love and consecration to the Lord. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life, Jesus says in Revelation 2 and verse 10. And he's not slack in his promise. For me, there's nothing more inspiring than to stand up here on Sundays, to stand down there on Wednesdays, to see our faithful seniors coming here because they desire to be here and not elsewhere. Yes, it would be really nice to be able to sit down in the evening and prop the feet up and relax. But they desire to be here. And when they're not here and you ask them, they want to be here. Many of us remember the Johns and when they first attended here, and I can't remember which one of the boys, when they first came in their first Sunday, and one of the boys said, there's a bunch of old people here. And Rachel looked down and says, while it may be old people here, there is wisdom here. And that is so true. That is so true. Their very presence here says very loud and clear that the Christian life is the best. All the obstacles and temptations can be overcome when we look to God. The light afflictions that we are facing have no comparison to that which is to come. The hope of the glory beyond. The example of the godly life is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, contribution in which our older Christians can make by way of service to others. Scriptures contain specific teachings as to the characteristics that are needful and becoming of our elderly. In Titus 2 and verse 2, aged men are instructed to be temperate, grave, sober-minded, sound in faith, in love, in patience. In verse 3, it says the aged women are admonished to be reverent in demeanor, not slanderers, not enslaved to much wine, teachers of that which is good. Demeanor does not mean the older I get, demeanor I am. It means the manner of life or one's daily conduct. Reverent demeanor could be conduct that is regulated by the attitude of respect, love, and fear toward God. Eventually, for the aged comes the final hour, for those who are prepared, it is just another door being opened, an opening that leads to a better world. It represents rest for the weary, freedom from the pain and suffering. It represents joy and peace and happiness for all. For those who have lived a godly life can say with Paul, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. But even after they're gone, they are still left behind by the examples that they have set, by the hallowed memory they have left behind of their faithfulness. By their devotion and their love. Walter Adams wrote the poem Prayer. And I'll finish with this poem. It said, before I sleep, before I die, let me go deep, let me go high. Deep to the roots of life's intent. High to the fruits on boughs unbent. There is no greater blessing to a congregation than one of having our children who will continue the work of that congregation. But more importantly, to those of our seniors who set the example for our children, who show them the love, sometimes the admonishment, but always love, and setting the example for them that they want and need to follow. For our seniors, we love you to death. You are our pillar in life today, and we thank you so much for your example. If there is anyone here this evening who desires to obey the gospel and to be baptized for the remission of sins, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. Please, at this time, allow God to add you to His church. Through that very act of repentance and confession and baptism, He will add you to that church, wash you clean of your sins, give you a new start in life. If you are a child of God and there are some corrections you need to make in your life, we want to give you that opportunity also. Maybe you just need the prayers of the congregation for going through some difficulties in time. If there's anyone that has a need this evening, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.